Welcome to the Talking Biotech Podcast. It's the weekly podcast about agriculture and medicine with an emphasis on biotechnology and the good things we can do for people and the planet. Today we're speaking with Zach Abbott. Dr. Zach Abbott, he works with ZBiotics, where he's the CEO of the company as well as a scientist there. And he's come up with a solution to a problem that many of us have experienced at some time in our life, right? So welcome to the podcast, Zach.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Really excited to be here and talking with you about this. I admire your work, so I'm really excited.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like we met at a meeting in Minneapolis, and I was so happy to sit and talk to you about your product and also kind of the fearless way in which you've taken on developing it, which is, you know, we'll talk about that in a minute. But what's the problem, first of all, that you and ZBiotics are seeking to solve?
So I'd say that fundamentally, the problem we are seeking to solve is making protein delivery to the gut more simple and effective. So the idea is that, there are all these great enzymes that can do all these amazing things for you, but they're very difficult to kind of deliver. And so ZBiotics wanted to solve that problem. And then more specifically, an application or focus for that problem was around acetaldehyde, which is a toxic byproduct of drinking alcohol that can cause some of the sort of next day misery associated with drinking. And so we know, to sort of link the two together, we know that your liver makes an enzyme that breaks acetaldehyde down. But the problem is that the liver doesn't have access to the gut where a lot of acetaldehyde is formed. And so I wanted to come up with a solution to solve the idea of getting an enzyme into your gut, similar to the one that your liver uses.
So the enzyme is called acetaldehyde. And do you know what it does in the catalysis of alcohol?
So the enzyme is actually an acetaldehyde dehydrogenase. And its purpose is to break down, oxidize acetaldehyde into acetate. And so in terms of it, that the context of alcohol metabolism as a whole, essentially when you consume alcohol, one enzyme called alcohol dehydrogenase breaks alcohol down into acetaldehyde. And then a second enzyme, the acetaldehyde dehydrogenase, turns acetaldehyde into acetate. And as I said, those two enzymes are expressed very effectively in the liver. However, the same is not true in the gut.
What is it exactly that gives you the post-imbibition discomfort?
The next day sort of symptoms, I usually call it like a symphony of distress. There's many things that are kind of happening. And to be truthful, I mean, honestly, the state of the scientific understanding of kind of the next day symptoms of alcohol is still pretty nascent. You know, there have been studies, but honestly, it's a complex kind of, collection of symptoms and not all of it is fully understood, but there are some things that we do know. For instance, we know that alcohol itself binds to different receptors in the brain that cause this sort of pendulum swing of alertness and sleepiness while you sleep. Which actually serves to disrupt your sleep rhythms and your sleep cycle. So you end up not getting good quality sleep or entering the deepest levels of sleep. We also know that alcohol is a very mild diuretic. However, what we also know is that contrary to kind of popular belief, dehydration has very little to do with sort of the next day misery after drinking. And that was shown in some nice studies where they looked at sort of biomarkers of dehydration, such as vasopressin, and saw that they didn't correlate. So in some ways, it's sort of been debunked as an issue. But I'd say most importantly, and most to the point for ZBiotics, is acetaldehyde accumulation. So acetaldehyde is a really toxic molecule. And it's known to be, cause cell death, DNA damage, create protein adducts. And this results in many things. Most notably, there's a significant amount of inflammation that your body has to deal with as acetaldehyde sort of wreaks havoc throughout the body. It's kind of like if you have a house party and somebody brings their jerk friend to the party and kind of starts smashing up vases and spilling drinks and stuff. Acetaldehyde's kind of analogous to that. It really creates a lot of issues throughout the body that the next day you're kind of, you know, dealing with a snowball effect of inflammation caused by that.
Okay, I see. So you're talking about this stuff called acetaldehyde as being really a problem, but your solution is to create a way to solve the problem in the gut. So how do you solve a problem in the gut? How do you deliver a solution to the gut that affects something that accumulates in the liver?
Yeah, no, that is a perfect question, and a question, you know, we got a lot. And what's interesting is that, as I say, actually the liver is excellent at kind of completing the two-step reaction from alcohol to acetaldehyde and from acetaldehyde to acetate. So the liver is actually very good at this. What the deal is that the gut is not. In your gut, mostly largely driven by your microbiome, but also in part by enzymes expressed in the gut epithelium, alcohol is pretty effectively broken down into acetaldehyde, but that second reaction from acetaldehyde to acetate is not very efficient. And that's because you don't have very much acetaldehyde dehydrogenase in your gut. So what happens is that even though the vast majority of alcohol is processed in the liver, the small amount that's processed in the gut is almost entirely turned into acetaldehyde. So while blood acetaldehyde concentrations from the liver are very low, colonic or gut acetaldehyde levels are actually much, much higher, you know, 6 to 10 times higher. So what that functionally means is that your gut is the major source and sink of acetaldehyde. And so what we needed was to get the efficiency of the liver to go into the gut. And so in addressing sort of systemic problems, we really want to nip the major source of acetaldehyde at the bud. And so that is why we felt that delivering an acetaldehyde dehydrogenase enzyme to the gut could really address the major source and the major problem.
Okay, so we're going to put an enzyme in the gut. So, but you know, this is a kind of a problem because anyone who's done a little bit of research on probiotics knows that you drink a enzyme, you know, take a pill that has some enzyme, and enzymes are proteins. How do they survive the gut? So what's the solution to that?
Right, and that really gets fundamentally at the heart of the problem we're trying to solve at ZBiotics. Like you said, I mean, the vast majority of proteins or enzymes that you eat are just broken down, you know, pretty rapidly in the harsh environment of the stomach and the gut as food, broken down into their component amino acids. So a way to deliver an enzyme that could maintain its shape and function long enough to have any meaningful effect was a challenge. And so, you know, what I determined was a great idea as a way to solve this was to engineer a probiotic bacteria to make the enzyme directly in your gut. So if you were to just take a pill with the enzyme itself, it would get broken down. But if you take a pill that has a probiotic bacteria, the bacteria can manufacture that enzyme. So you're really at that point eating an enzyme factory rather than the enzyme itself. And depending on the bacteria you choose, those bacteria can be very robust and resistant to sort of the harsh environments of the stomach and the gut. And that's exactly what we did. So we started with a probiotic bacteria called B. subtilis, which is known to be a very common, environmental microbe that people eat likely every day of their lives. And it is naturally evolved to pass through the stomach unharmed in a dormant spore form. It then gets into the gut and senses the positive environment there, the nutrient-rich environment in your gut. And then it germinates from that spore. It wakes up. And then it starts going about its business. And so what we essentially did was we programmed it to have one additional piece of business while it's in there. In addition to the normal things it does, it now expresses an acetaldehyde dehydrogenase at very high levels. And so you can imagine this sort of probiotic bacteria kind of floating through your gut, passing through over the course of about a day. And while it kind of floats down that river, it's expressing a ton of acetaldehyde dehydrogenase and really turning any acetaldehyde that it encounters in the gut into acetate. And in every other way, it behaves exactly like it normally would when you ingest.
Okay, so now we've talked about the technology. Let's take a quick break here. We're talking with Dr. Zach Abbott from ZBiotics in San Francisco, and we're talking about a probiotic solution to the issues of too much consumption of alcohol, the hangover issues that are caused by chemistries that are residual of alcohol breakdown. This is the Talking Biotech Breakdown. The Talking Bio. That's going to be my my band. The Talking Biotech Podcast, and we'll be back in just a minute.
I just hate going to the store. All of these labels, free range, GMO free, certified Chernobyl radiation safe. It's so confusing, especially in the area of food technology.
Well, hi, lady shopper. I couldn't help but overhear that you were showing signs of distress about food and farming.
Yes, strange guy, I don't know. I'm concerned. I don't want biotechnology, synthetic biology, or precision agriculture in my food. Mother Nature gave it all the precision I need.
Wow, you seem indeed lost and confused. Why do you feel this way?
Well, for years, I've listened to these luminaries, Food Babe, Gwyneth Paltrow, and David Avocado Wolf. But now I wonder, are they for real? Do I need certified GMO-free salt? Does salt even have genetics to modify, random stranger? If only there was a concise book that explained it all with reputable science that I, a person without a science degree, will totally understand.
Wait, I need to introduce you to Food 5.0.
Food 5.0? Is that gluten-free?
Well, sort of. See, Food 5.0 is a book called Food 5.0, How We Feed the Future, a new book by Robert Syke.
Sounds interesting, random science man. Tell me more.
Well, the book is a substantial science-based book, looking at modern farming. It's written for everyone. The average person that has concerns or just wants to know more about food or farm technology. From genes in the field to sensors on the farm, it's really a great book. I have a copy right here.
Indeed, this looks like a comprehensive work that may challenge my assumptions and answer so many questions. Thank you, random grocery store stranger!
No, thank you for challenging your own pitifully misplaced beliefs. And reach out to Rob or even the Talking Biotech podcast host if you have any questions.
Will do. Imagine, there's something other than coffee at the grocery store that will make me feel smarter.
Find Food 5.0, How We Feed the Future, on Amazon or from wherever you can buy books, if there are such places anymore. And hurry before food activists buy them all and burn them. This is a needed piece of work that has a place in helping people understand what's on their plate and how it got there.
And now we're back on the Talking Biotech Podcast. We're speaking with Dr. Zach Abbott. He's the CEO of ZBiotics. And we're talking about a solution that he has created to solve the problem of hangovers by probiotics. And it's just, there's been all kinds of solutions for hangovers before, from traditional ideas to like special herbal concoctions, which turn out to be mostly charcoal. You know, what are some of the other ways people have tried to combat this?
Yeah, you know, that is an excellent question. And the way you describe the product is, you know, it gives me a good opportunity here. So we are very careful to not describe this as a product to prevent hangovers. And it's for the exact reason, you know, using other products as an example is that, you know, the hangover as a term is very loaded, and it sort of comes with a lot of potential sort of symptoms and outcomes that, you know, vary from person to person and experience to experience. And so really what our product is it's very specific. It's designed to do one specific thing, which is support your body's ability to break down acetaldehyde, which can cause some of the next day effects of drinking. That being said, it is not, this is real science. It's not science fiction. And so it's not a get out of jail free card. This isn't something that you take and then, you know, you feel perfect the next day. That's not really how it's designed to work. And I think, you know, when you look at other products that have come on the market in the past, I hate to even, put myself in the same category as those, for the reason that I think that they are pseudoscience and they do promise things that are unrealistic. Anybody who's selling you a hangover cure is probably selling you snake oil, because hangover is a very complex kind of cacophony of symptoms and events that we don't fully understand. And so most of the things so far that have sort of been presented that way, as you say, there's been, you know, activated charcoal, which actually has, you know, good clinical data to show that it really had no effect whatsoever. And there's also sort of these random plant extracts and vitamins and things like that. And they sort of you know, just been swept into a bottle and branded in a certain way and given people promises that, you know, don't really have any kind of scientific foundation or in the best case, maybe a very minimal amount of scientific foundation with a few ingredients. But on the whole, and that's, you know, I don't mean to sound overly critical, you know, to be fair, up until this product, I mean, that's the best we could do. It was, you know, go through kind of what naturally existed, you know, different plants and vitamins and stuff and kind of hope for the best, you know, and, you know, that strategy has been the best we could do for about 6,000 years that humans have been intentionally consuming alcohol. But the fact is that it hasn't been very effective. And so when I started ZBiotics, the idea was that we really need to address this problem with modern technology. And so we decided to build something that addressed one of the kind of known root causes of next day misery. And so it's really that. It's really meant to target acetaldehyde specifically.
Okay, well, here's kind of the red flag on this. So you're not just putting in B. subtilis and saying, you know, B. subtilis, go in and do your thing. And B. subtilis probably converts acetaldehyde on its own to some degree. You're actually using a genetic engineering tweak here too. So can you explain what you're doing there?
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely correct. I mean, so the enzyme we've been discussing, acetaldehyde dehydrogenase, is not an uncommon enzyme. Your body has about 12 different versions of this enzyme, and in the liver, it makes, you know, a few of these pretty efficiently. In addition, this enzyme is present in about 70% of all life on the planet. It's one of the oldest enzymes evolutionarily that we have. That being said, as you pointed out, B. subtilis doesn't naturally make this, you know, enzyme in high quantities, and we don't really know when it makes it. So bacteria are really great at turning kind of different proteins on and off given a certain environment. And so that presents a challenge for us in terms of the ability to have a consistently positive effect. If the bacteria are making decisions about when to express a protein or not, they may not express it in a given person's gut. So we did have to genetically engineer this bacteria so that it would not only make the enzyme we wanted, which was a very efficient version of acetaldehyde dehydrogenase, which we pulled from a different bacteria called Cuprivatus nicator. We also had to engineer the bacteria, the B. subtilis bacteria, to make that enzyme constitutively, meaning all the time, and make a lot of it, make it very robustly. And so that required essentially going in and engineering a genetic promoter to be very constitutive and robust. We essentially created a new strain of B. subtilis, B. subtilis ZB183 is what we're calling it.
And so the strain, and just for people who are listening who sometimes don't know the molecular biology very well, they recoded the enzyme to make it more efficient, which is sometimes tricky to do because evolution does a good job with that usually, but a very efficient enzyme that's turned on all the time. So the promoter or the control region of the gene expresses it at a very high level. And is it secreted? Do you have a secretion signal on it, or does acetaldehyde come in?
So that is an excellent question. And it was something that, you know, evolved my thinking evolved in developing this product. At first, I did intend to secrete it. But then as I, you know, thought more about it, I actually realized that a much stronger system would be if instead of secreting the enzyme, we imported the substrate. To put it more simply, rather than putting the enzyme outside, we brought the acetaldehyde inside the bacteria. And the reason why that's more effective is that the bacteria provide a, you know, protective environment for that enzyme to function at its best capacity. So they provide the correct pH and cofactors for that enzyme to efficiently work. And they also protect it from other enzymes called proteases, which break down protein. So if it were to be secreted, once it got into the lumen of the gut outside of the bacteria, likely it would be broken down relatively quickly. And so by keeping the protein inside the bacteria, the protein is more active for longer. And so then it was a matter of getting the acetaldehyde into the bacteria, which we were actually quite lucky. Acetaldehyde is highly soluble. And so that's a problem for your body, in the sense that, you know, when your body produces acetaldehyde after you drink, that acetaldehyde kind of can diffuse into all the cells of your body and create all the damage it creates. But it also diffuses into the bacterial cell, where it can get broken down. So it solved a logistical problem for us, and I think probably made the technology more effective. And so going forward, I think we're going to try to continue to leverage sort of the import of the substrate rather than the export of the enzyme.
Okay, that's really cool. So, but how is this actually delivered? So when someone buys your product, do they get like a tablet, or how is it delivered to the body?
So it's a 15 mil or half ounce liquid in a glass bottle. And so the bacteria are, so one of the amazing things about B. subtilis, amongst many, it's a wonderful bacteria, and I'm really excited to be able to work with it, is that B. subtilis makes a spore, which is a dormant and resilient state of the bacteria. It allows it to tolerate, you know, wide fluctuations in temperature, as well as tolerate very low pH, such as the acid in your stomach. So many probiotics, you know, require special encapsulation, lest they die in transit through the stomach, amongst other things. And so what's great about B. subtilis is that it kind of comes with its own natural encapsulation in the spore. And so we have the luxury of being able to suspend this in a beverage that you can consume. And so the idea is you take this very small kind of liquid shot that has a dose of B. subtilis ZB1-AB3 and a little bit of flavoring, and you drink that before or during drinking alcohol. And the idea is that bacteria gets into your gut, and as the acetaldehyde is being formed while you're drinking in your gut, the bacteria are in there breaking it down before it can be absorbed into your bloodstream.
You know, it's really funny. I took a class in prokaryotic molecular biology, and I could tell you more about B. subtilis spore formation than probably a lot of people on the planet.
It is an incredible process. I mean, if I could nerd out with you on B. subtilis, you know, for hours, I would. I mean, it's just a brilliant bacteria, and it does so many cool things. And the spore is a really incredible process.
Well, just the formation and how it separates off from the rest of the cell, you know, compartmentalizes part of the genetic material and has a number of different physiological things that happen. I don't even, you know, we could go there, but let's not.
Right.
It's not good podcast. I think the thing
we'll do it afterwards.
All right. Yeah, sure. It's over a beer sometime.
Yeah.
I think the thing that is really interesting about this, though, is that you have genetically engineered a bacterium to now use as a supplement probiotic. But how much regulation did you have to go through to be able to produce this product and market it?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, fundamentally, we've made a new food ingredient. So, you know, the process for that is very clear, and the FDA requires you to demonstrate that the product is safe. And so that's what we did. And we spent the last 2 years, you know, going through different levels of safety testing to demonstrate that the product we were introducing was going to be safe for people. And that's necessary for any new food, you know, whether it be a genetically engineered probiotic or something else that hasn't been in the food supply or recognized as a safe part of the food supply before. And so, you know, specifically for Zbiotics, that required us to, first and foremost, I mean, we made a logical genetic argument that what we started with was B. subtilis, which is a bacteria that humans have been intentionally ingesting for hundreds of years in high doses. So you may or may not have heard of a fermented soybean food from Japan called natto. That is essentially soybeans that have been fermented with the bacteria B. subtilis. And so in a single serving of natto, there is, you know, very high levels, higher levels than would be in Zbiotics products. So we know that B. subtilis itself is very safe. There's a wealth of evidence on that. And then all we really did was engineer it to express an enzyme internally in the bacteria that is present in some form in 70% of all life on the planet. So there's no reasonable expectation that the combination of those two things would be anything but safe. Your body is very familiar with both of the components of this product. That being said, you know, we did several tests to confirm that. You know, several in vitro tests and as well as you know, from my opinion, unfortunately, we had to do a 90-day repeat dose study in rodents, which, you know, I personally felt was sort of an unnecessary waste of rodent life, but it is the gold standard. And we felt like because we were launching this product, we really should adhere to what the FDA currently expects. That being said, you know, we hope to move towards more humane types of testing in the future and encourage the FDA to do so as well. But you know, with all that said, you know, we had all that data that we generated. It was reviewed by some of America's top toxicologists. We're in the final process of revision for publishing that data in a peer-reviewed journal called the Journal of Toxicology. And our goal is to be extremely transparent about what we've done, what we've created, and allow people to review that safety data and that argument for safety for themselves. And so there's no hiding or, you know, being not straightforward about the product or how it was made or why we believe it to be safe. And we hope that people will feel comfortable in reviewing that and determining for themselves whether or not that they feel that the product is safe.
How hard was it to get the mice or the rats to do shots of tequila?
Well, that might be study number two. Look, rats like to unwind like the rest of us, so I don't think it would be too hard. But no, it was only a safety study, so that means that no alcohol was administered. They just got the probiotic in water or water alone, and you know, at doses 1,000 times higher than what we have in our product in ZBiotics. It was shown that the product was no more dangerous than the water itself. So meaning that it had no effects. So, we'll see if we can find some drinking rats for the next round.
Well, I guess the other thing that you started to touch on was the transparency. Now, if you go to the probiotics aisle at Whole Foods and you look at all of the products on the shelf, I'm betting that 99% of them have a big non-GMO sticker on there and, right, you know, a butterfly and all that stuff. Are you going to kind of keep this over on the back label there and just kind of not mention it? Or are you going to, you know, be loud and proud about technology?
Oh, man. I mean, it's not even a question. The mission of ZBiotics is about, transparency and responsibility and consumer benefit for the technology. And so, to answer your question simply, we'll absolutely be loud and proud about what we've done with this bacteria, right? We've engineered it. And that's the reason that the product has value. It's not engineered, to increase our yields or our profits or something like that. It is engineered for the purpose of breaking down acetaldehyde for the consumer when they consume alcohol. And so that's the purpose of the genetic engineering. And so to hide that would be sort of not only antithetical to our mission, it would also cheapen the product and not allow the consumer to decide for themselves whether or not they think the product is valuable for them. And so, we see that the technology that was used to build it is an asset. We also feel that, it was very specifically chosen, for us to address acetaldehyde as our first indication or application of this technology, because it allows the consumer to test the product for themselves and determine for themselves whether or not the product is providing them any value, right? There's a very visceral readout of efficacy the day after drinking, right? You either feel better or you don't. And so we thought that by doing something that wasn't about general gut wellness or anti-aging or something that you could not perceive for yourself, that would not do service, to demonstrating the value of the technology. Whereas if you wake up the day after after drinking and using ZBiotics and you feel good or you feel better, then you've had a very visceral and real and positive experience with genetic engineering. And we wanted to be very transparent about that. And so from that perspective, we call it GMO 2.0, and nothing about it is terribly earth-shattering. The idea is that we create products with genetic engineering and we are, there's really three tenets. We're very transparent about our use of that technology. We emphasize, being responsible, and that means not being dismissive of the real concerns that people have around the technology. But instead addressing them and really being transparent about our safety testing and demonstrating to people that we've really done our due diligence to make sure that we're in no way putting them at risk. And allowing and being transparent about that responsibility to allow people to evaluate that for themselves. And then the third tenet is being, focusing on consumer benefit, using the genetic engineering, as I said, to benefit the consumer of the product. And so all those things are, that's really the core tenets of our mission.
That's really cool. And so with that as a prelude, can you talk about the next products that are in line to be part of a kind of engineered probiotic family?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, in our first product, which we recently launched, it will be the world's first ever genetically engineered probiotic. That being said, first ever genetically engineered probiotic to go to market. That being said, it certainly won't be the last by any means. I'm sure that, this is really the beginning of a category. There are several pharmaceutical companies and academic research on genetically engineered probiotics. There are, products in the pipeline. I think that, if our product is successful, other people, other companies will develop engineered probiotics to do other things that are beneficial for people. And we're excited about that. And so I think there's a ton of stuff that can be done in so many different verticals. We really like the idea of engaging directly with consumers. And kind of, in their everyday lives. And so we want to build more probiotic products that are engineered to address other issues kind of daily life. There are lots of things we consume or are exposed to very naturally, as people in modern society. And some of the byproducts confounding factors that come along with this modern life are undesirable. And so, we think we can engineer bacteria to help with those things. So as an example, when you consume milk, you're exposed to a lot of lactose. And for some people, that's not a problem. But for some people, it causes a little bit of GI distress. And so, there's a simple enzyme that breaks down lactose. And so engineering a microbe to help you break down the lactose you're consuming could be beneficial for some people. And so there are things like that where we're sort of dealing with the, toxic or unwanted byproducts of foods we consume. But there's also the other side of the coin on that, which is microbes help us to absorb nutrients better. And so we can engineer probiotics to focus on certain nutrients that people, may be lacking in their diet and help them absorb those more efficiently. And so that's just some kind of early off the cuff stuff that we're working on now. That being said, the possibilities are endless, as well as in the veterinary space and as I say, in healthcare and medicine. I mean, there are people already working on engineered bacteria for, chronic inflammation and all these, very serious diseases as well. And so I think that there is huge opportunity and, 10, 20 years from now, it will seem crazy that we didn't engineer our probiotics until now. One analogy, sorry, Kevin, if you indulge me for a sec. One analogy I usually like to give is the current state of probiotics is kind of like we just pull them out of the ground and put them in a pill and give them to people and hope they have some sort of beneficial effect. But there isn't any real demonstration that they do. It's sort of akin to just pulling a hunk of like iron ore out of the ground and giving to somebody and saying, hey, use this to hammer in your nails and screw in your screws and split a log and all these things. And an engineered probiotic would be equivalent to taking that hunk of iron ore and then, refining it, modern metallurgy into a hammer or a screwdriver or an axe. And so that's the idea is that we'll take these probiotics, these amazing bacteria, and then we'll engineer them to accomplish specific functions.
Well, the product has recently been relaunched, and if people wanted to find it, where do they look?
Zbiotics.com. We put a lot of work into that website. There's a lot of information on there, lots of science. We did a high level and a more in-depth discussion about how we engineered the product. We talk about alcohol metabolism and acetaldehyde. We talk about our mission and GMO 2.0 and the status of or the state of the GMO debate. There's a lot of things in there, and I think people might be surprised by the way we discuss sort of GMOs. We're not a traditional kind of pro-GMO company, I'm air quoting, in the way that you might assume. We advocate for addressing the concerns and the real issues that people have. And so there's a lot to learn on there. But also, of course, I'd be remiss to say that you can also get our product there. We're selling it directly on our website, and it's a great product. And I hope people will try it out and decide for themselves whether or not it's a valuable product.
And you also have a presence in social media like Twitter or Facebook, something like that?
Yeah, we have a Twitter account, a Facebook account, Instagram. We post cool little content, little science bits and lifestyle bits on there. And so lots of cool things to find there as well.
Okay, and I'll link all of that through the website. So Dr. Zach Abbott, thank you very much for joining me and the Talking Biotech podcast.
Likewise, Dr. Kevin Folta, I really appreciate it. It's been an excellent conversation.
And thank you for listening to the Talking Biotech podcast. Go pour yourself a stiff one and try some of the probiotic. Write a review on iTunes, share with friends, get more people excited about this medium where we're sharing science. Our numbers are growing and our reviews are awesome. And it's all because we have outstanding guests and wonderful listeners. Thank you for listening to the Talking Biotech podcast, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Talking Biotech podcast. Send your suggestions for guests, comments, or questions to talkingbiotech@gmail.com. Please write a review of this podcast on iTunes and recommend it to a friend. More downloads help us reach a wider audience with science.